Washington reports to the people.
The United States Information Agency is not a perfect instrument, but it is maturing and its product is improving. It is the government agency charged with the responsibility of exporting ideas and information. More money will not guarantee success, but insufficient money will threaten failure. We are being outspent, outpublished, and outbroadcast. We are a first-rate power. We must speak with a first-rate voice abroad.
Edward R. Murrow, Director, United States Information Agency. This public service broadcast for this radio station and the American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations is from Mr. Murrow's office in the USIA building here in Washington. Your reporter, Harry W. Flannery. Mr. Murrow, most of us know about the Voice of America, at least by name, but we don't know much about even its operations or any of the other things the USIA does. How many different operations does the USIA have?
Well, Mr. Flannery, Harry, it's good to be sitting across a microphone from you again.
Thank you, Ed. Same here.
So far as the full scope of our operations is concerned, we use every known instrument of communication. The Voice of America is obviously the best known, but we're also in the business of making films, television, sending exhibits abroad, publishing books in translation. We operate a wireless file, a radio teletype circuit that moves 10,000 words each day to 5 geographic areas. We're also in the business of bringing to this country not only students, but leaders of opinion, giving them a chance to see for themselves. At the same time, as you will recognize, the U.S. Information Agency represents only a small part of the total export of information from this country. Our product, in terms of film and television, of course, has much less impact than what is sent out from Hollywood and what is exported by the television networks in this country. But our primary purpose, I would say, is to use every known means of communication in an effort to make United States policy everywhere intelligible and, wherever we can, palatable. And the real cutting edge of the operation is represented by our people abroad who sit and talk with newspaper editors, with broadcasters such as yourself, in various parts of the world, and explain American policy face to face.
Do you operate in all parts of the world or just in certain major areas?
No, we operate in 101 countries. In the course of the last 2 years, we have put our major emphasis on Africa and Latin America.
Of course, the greatest interest is in what you do in connection with the Soviet Union. How do you use USIA media to get there?
We really have three instruments to use in the Soviet Union. The first is the Voice of America. The second is a series of exhibits. We have had, for example, in the last year, 3 exhibits in the Soviet Union, one dealing with plastics, one with medicine, and one with transportation. About 1.25 million Russians have gone through those 3 exhibits. Each exhibit is staffed by 25 or 30 Russian-speaking American guides. And the third instrument is America Illustrated, a magazine that has a print run of 62,000. We could, of course, sell many more, but it is limited to that as a result of an exchange agreement between the Soviet Union and the United States.
How many transmitters do you have, Ed?
Harry, we have 99 transmitters, 57 of them overseas, and 42 in the United States. Last January, we opened the largest single transmitter complex in the world in Greenville, North Carolina. But in addition to the shortwave broadcasting, we place some 14,000 hours each week by tape or by point-to-point relay on medium-wave stations abroad. And that, of course, means that we are getting at the local audience listening to their local transmitters.
How strong is this station in Greenville?
It is 4.8 million watts. And that is the equivalent of the combined power of about 90 of the most powerful radio transmitters in this country.
Yeah, because I believe our strongest ones are today about 50,000, aren't they?
That's right.
Is RIOS in Berlin, the radio in the American sector, one of the your stations?
That is ours, yes, and certainly the most widely listened to station in Eastern Germany. There is no question about that.
You're able to measure, I believe, the effectiveness of RIOS.
Yes, and we were able to measure it much more effectively and accurately before the construction of the wall, of course.
What about the effectiveness of the other broadcasts and of your other operations, particularly, say, in the Soviet Union and in China? Do you have any way of measuring this?
Well, we have no rating system, obviously, but we rely upon tourists who talk with Russians, reports from our own embassy, conversations with Russians who visited the three exhibits that I mentioned earlier. We know that we are getting through, and of course, now since the 19th of June, we are getting through entirely because the Russians have ceased jamming. How long they will continue that, we don't know, of course.
The radio broadcast, do you consider that one of the best means that you have of getting the message out?
Well, I think it varies from country to country. In a country with a high rate of illiteracy, of course, it is effective. On the other hand, you have to measure it against the television possibility, against books, cartoon strips, all of which we do. We have a cartoon strip that has the widest circulation of any strip in the world, for example. Our films are seen by about 600 million people a month. We have about 7,500 projectors scattered all over the world, some 220 film libraries. And television, of course, is becoming an increasingly useful instrument. Something like 700 new television transmitters came on the air in the course of last year. And these new television stations, sometimes they start without realizing the voracious appetite of that instrument, and they have difficulty filling the time. And the result is that we have opportunity to place more material than we can actually produce.
What you're saying, I imagine, Ed, is particularly true in Latin America in regard to television, and in Africa.
It is. We have had an astonishing success, Harry, with an experimental television program that we started about a year and a half ago, designed to teach English by television. That program is now being carried in 36 countries, including every country in Latin America that has a television service. It's being carried twice a day on two networks in Japan, and has been an enormous success.
Have you been able to make some changes in the USIA operation since you've been the director, Ed?
Well, Harry, I think we have improved the product, by which I mean we have turned out material in film and on television that I would be happy to have measured against the product of the network. Not all of it, but some. We have extended the tour of duty of our people abroad. When I came down here, they spent 2 years in a post normally. Now they spend three. We have reduced the amount of paperwork that they are required to send in from abroad. The reports are less voluminous now because I wanted our people to spend their time wearing out shoe leather, going around seeing editors and broadcasters and so forth, rather than wearing out typewriter ribbons, writing reports. And I'm told by the old hands, and this is perhaps most important of all, I'm told by the old hands that the caliber of the new recruits coming into the agency has improved very considerably.
We've been doing quite a bit, as you've been explaining it, but the communists have been doing much more than we have. Can you give me a further idea of how true this is?
There is no doubt of that. Their jamming system, when they were operating it, had we operated a similar system, it would have cost us $150 million a year. In the field of books, last year they went from 30 million to 40 million books in non-communist bloc languages. In addition to that, they caused to be published outside the Soviet Union about 100 million more. We were able to produce in translation fewer than 8 million books. We are being out-broadcast by the Soviet Union and by Communist China.
There are some ways, I believe, Ed, in which the radio stations in this country can and may be cooperating, television stations too, and the people. I'm thinking, for one thing, of your book program.
We've developed a very interesting idea, Harry, which I hope and I think is going to work, because the paperback book industry has now joined us in a wholly non-profit plan called Books USA. We select the books. We send them abroad, present them to libraries, schools, in some cases to individuals. And in this country, we tend to take books for granted, and we don't appreciate the hunger that exists, particularly in the emerging countries. This is true in Africa, it's true in certain parts of Asia, true also in Latin America. This represents an opportunity for anyone who is prepared to invest $4 to present a packet of books to an institution or an individual abroad. And when you see them received, see the interest and the pride that they arouse. It's a very satisfying thing. And anyone who's interested could write to Books USA, Post Office Box 1960, Washington, D.C.
What do you need to do the kind of job, and what do you need further to do the kind of job you believe USIA should be doing?
Well, in the first place, we always need more and better people. We are somewhat deficient in our language training. We are in the process of putting that right. We have made our budget submission to the House of Representatives, and they have acted. We asked for a total of $157.9 million. That, by the way, is just a little more than is spent on advertising tobacco in this country each year. It is about half what is spent for headache remedies in this country. The House allowed us $142.7 million. That is $15 million less than we requested. This means if we are unable to restore that cut in the Senate, that we will not be able to expand our book publishing program in Latin America. It means that we will not be able to expand, as we had planned, our television production all around the world. It seems to me that partly as a result of the fact that most people do not know what we're doing, that our budget can be cut with political impunity, because we have no constituency, we have no lobby. So the question arises as to whether the House of Representatives in this case really believes in the potency of ideas and the importance of information, or whether they don't. And on the record, they don't. I have the feeling that a great many Americans have a certain suspicion about what is called propaganda. And I would like to make it clear that our propaganda is based strictly on the truth. What we're trying to do is to tell the story of this country, tell it honestly, and tell it effectively. And money isn't going to guarantee success, but the lack of it is certainly going to jeopardize success and means that we will not, in fact, be competitive with the opposition.
Thank you. Edward R. Murrow, Director of the United States Information Agency. This broadcast was from Mr. Murrow's office in the USIA headquarters here in Washington. This is Harry W. Flannery inviting you to be with us each week at this same time as this radio station and the AFL-CIO bring you this public service program, Washington Reports to the People.